Some people are calling him like the next Bo Jackson.
What?
You say that and my ears automatically perk up.
I'm literally going to YouTube right now.
What are you talking about? The next Bo Jackson. He rushed in a senior season at Texas. He rushed for, I think, like 2,000-something yards, 41 touchdowns, and led them to the state championship. And he didn't have, like, any recruits from, like, Power 5 schools in December. And then over the past 2 or 3 weeks, he's gotten recruits for offers from Alabama, Miami, USC, Texas, like all of the big names. And Oregon just offered him, and Dan Lanning was down on in-state visit for him. So, and from what I read, he's firmly, he says Oregon is firmly in the mix. So, yeah, let me know what you think once you see that video, JD.
I love watching him serve it. He's like, wait, what?
No, I need it immediately to go find out.
That was like the headline of the Athletic article. It was like,
shows you slept through. Time's up. I'm sorry I kept you thinking of this. You keep repeating your mess. The rhyme from the microphone solo with. So you sit by the radio and on the dial soon. As you hear it, pump up the volume. Dance with the speaker.
Hello and welcome to the Flock Pod. We are at hashtag 104 here in the beautiful condo. The Avatarriers are awake today, but they look a little docile. So far we're doing all right. Please, if you would be so kind, go find us on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Give us a like, hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating. We would greatly appreciate it, as we are the little podcast that could, and we are out here trying to beat those pesky algorithms. With that in mind, if you would please go find us on your favorite and all of your social media channels. Give us that like, give us that follow, maybe even give us a retweet or a share here and there. We would really appreciate it. You can go find me at Coach Justin D on those same social media platforms. Shay, tell them where you are.
You can find me at BartenderShane6 on Twitter and at WalkaFlockaShane6 on Instagram.
And we are, of course, joined today by Mr. Zachary Neal from duckswire.usatoday.com. Go find him at Zachary C. Neal on the Twitterverse, and go find at duckswire on the Twitterverse and give them some love. Also, Zach, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. I am happy to be back. It feels like it's been a little bit since I've been with you guys.
It's been a
couple weeks.
We talked last week and I was jonesing to get on the pod because of scheduling. It didn't work out, but I'm thrilled to be back. Can't wait.
Well, it was a big weekend, you know, big weekend just in Duck news, big weekend, you know, on the hardwood with the Ducks going 4-0 against top 10 opponents. Just a really successful weekend. So let's not dilly-dally any further, gentlemen. Let's jump right into it here. Let's jump onto the men's side first. We are going to get to some football news later on in the podcast, some transfers, some big stuff to talk about in the recruiting world. So make sure to stick around for that. But I want to get into this basketball real quick because, you guys, I am back on my bullshit. This team is winning the national championship. It was an incredible weekend of basketball. Will Richardson is back in his bag. The man is the straw that stirs the drink, and it's a delicious drink, gentlemen. It's a delicious drink. You guys should start sipping this drink right here because this team is winning the national championship. Get on the bus. Shane, Zach, are you getting on the bus? Are you getting on the bus right now?
I mean, it does look fairly wide open, so I'm not going to rule it out.
That's not a yes or no. You got to say, give me a yes or no. Are you getting on the bus? Are you getting on the hype train? Choo, choo.
I don't want to attach my name to a national championship prediction.
I would be riding a bike alongside the bus.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm fine. I'll be in this spaceship all by myself driving it. You guys can be hanging out right alongside. But just an incredible weekend, especially to do it on the road. Just a really, really impressive. And that win against USC was, I think it was wire to wire finish, wasn't it?
They never trailed.
Yeah, so just really, really impressive victory. So Shane, I want to jump over to you first. Just give me your thoughts just on the weekend in general and anything that stuck out from either game to you in particular.
Well, you hit the nail on the head earlier. Somebody that I was fairly critical the last time we spoke on this podcast in episode 103, Mr. Will Richardson. It's like maybe I should be critical of people more often. I feel
like I'm fairly. He obviously was listening. He was obviously listening.
Apparently, because he came out looking for blood. That and something that we kind of talked about before in the last episode as well, with the rotation kind of being a little more set in stone. That's something that it looks like this team is really finding their groove, finding their roles. And Frank Kepnang and Folly Dante being this like perfect change of pace back style center situation where like we have like they're such similar body types, but they play basketball and approach the game such in different ways that it's so cool to have them just come in. And especially Frank being the big energy guy, these small spurts of him on the floor for 4 to 5 minutes where he can just go do whatever. And some of his defensive deficiencies that we talked about before, closeouts and some switching and things like that can be a little more hidden and they can't really target it as much. So those are the things that really stuck out for me.
Every time Frank comes on the court, I just hear he came in like a wrecking ball in my head just playing because he just hits the floor with so much energy right away. And Zach, I want to get to you to get your thoughts also, but I was so incredibly impressed with him. His presence on the bench also reminded me of a young Jordan Bell out there being a guy that's getting everybody hyped up on the bench. But yeah, Zach, same question to you, sir.
I think that's been my favorite part of the season is that we finally have gotten to see Frank and Folly play so much. And it's really given us the chance to see that, yeah, while they look pretty similar, they're pretty similar builds, they bring so much different aspects to the table and so much different things in their game. I mean, Frank's energy on defense and his energy overall is just incredible. It's such a spurt to this team. And then Folly has impressed me so much on the offensive end. I think I tweeted a few days ago that if you could kind of combine both of those players into like one person, it'd be one of the best basketball players I've ever seen because like they have so many talents and they complement each other so well. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
I mean, you put them together, it's kind of Akeem Olajuwon.
Honestly, yeah, it's close.
You're totally right though. I mean, having the footwork of Infale and then having the drive and Frank, like you called it out first, Shane, you were one of the first people that touched. Frank's touch around the rim is something I just wouldn't have expected because he plays like a pit bull. And then all of a sudden he has just this nice little, just a nice little flick of the wrist, nice little touch. And his jumper from the free throw line doesn't look as broke as it did last year. It looks a little bit smoother. And so that makes him a little bit more confident going to the rack. But I want to talk about these guards because Will Richardson, I mean, we talked on the last podcast, definitely go check out 103 to see why Will Rich would be so mad with us. Cause I was talking about this guy I think he'll be an NBA player. I don't think he's going to be a starter necessarily long-term in the NBA, unless it's kind of in a like a mid-tier market or something like that. But he has the potential to do what Chris Duarte is doing. You know, Duarte's putting up good minutes for the Pacers. He has the potential to kind of be like a Troy Brown. He had a little mini breakout for the Bulls this year before he got hurt again. But he has that potential to be that 15 to 20 minute guy in the NBA, especially if he's going to shoot the ball like he has over the last couple weeks. So, Zach, I want to jump to you now. What is your favorite part of what you saw from the guards from these last two games?
Well, like you said, Will Rich, I mean, he's doing what we expected him to be doing. I mean, he's doing it at a really high level right now, but we expected him to be the leader of this team. What's really impressed me so far this year is just how well both Jacob Young and Davion Harmon have kind of played together and found their roles on this offense. I think that's kind of why this team is getting into such a groove right now. It's not anything schematically, but they're really finding their roles and they're finally gelling together. I mean, Davion Harmon was a main offensive piece with Oklahoma, and then he's kind of come to Oregon and taken a little bit of a back seat, and he's not the leading scorer like he's used to being. And, you know, he's found what's worked for him, and I'm sure that he'd love to be going out there and putting up 22, 24 a night, but that's not what the team needs. They kind of need him to be in that two guard, three guard role. And so far it's worked really well. So I've had a lot of fun watching those guys get used to each other on the court and kind of learn where everyone's going to be and find their role.
Well, and that's something I talked a little bit about at the beginning of the season, where one of these guys needed to come out and kind of establish dominance. And I feel like Will Richardson has finally done that. And then he's going to have opportunities for Young and for Harmon to take over games and go on runs. But Will Rich is still going to be the guy that keeps the engine going. And Shane, you sent me a picture that I think makes the most sense of the world, is that this team's like hanging out with each other now. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't
see. Something we haven't seen.
Exactly. So they, I mean, you, yeah, tell me what that picture was.
Oh, yeah, it was Biddle, Will Richardson, blanking on who else was. Was it Davion Harmon and somebody else?
You're talking about at the women's game?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all walked right in front of the media when we were at the women's game. It was Jacob Young, Rivaldo Soares, Will Richardson, Nathan Biddle. And then Harmon was also down on the floor. He wasn't with them, but he was also at the women's game.
But you love to see them hanging out together. And that's one thing that I alluded to early on, that I don't think these guys like each other. And I think that now they've kind of fallen into these roles, and they've kind of, they've had their practice battles. They've realized, you know, kind of the hierarchy. And Shane, I think by doing that, they've really unlocked the potential of this team.
Mm, and we don't really know how Will Richardson is in his, you know, real life or in the locker room and such, but on the court, he's very mild tempered and doesn't really seem to talk all that much. And so you always wonder with these, with these teams and having all these transfers come in, like if he is a little bit cold to kind of like, you know, get used to and be around. But I mean, that's speculating on these guys' personalities, but it really does seem like they are really gelling at this time and seeing him out in public. The last year we didn't see any of those guys really at the games together. So, I mean, I love to see that. And like you guys were saying earlier, sorry, threw me off there. With Will Richardson really stepping into this role as, you know, kind of the leader on the team, I still think the offense operates better when Jacob Young is really looked at as the primary scorer. He's done a lot of ISO scoring. And while Richardson was kind of in that cold streak there, he really took over the reins as kind of the go-to guy down the stretch. And it's funny with Davion Harmon, when we got wind of the transfer, Justin talked to his cousin in Oklahoma. Is that right? Mm-hmm. And he was kind of like, oh boy, like, you know, this guy's kind of like hot and cold, streaky, and he's going to get up a lot of shots. So to see him take this role, I think it could actually help him a lot in the long run. Cause you imagine if he had like a 30 point game on like, you know, 19 shots and only dribbled the ball like 15 to 20 times, one of those kind of just getting hot in the corner games, I think might elevate his draft stock and his post-college career even more.
Well, and he's going to have 15 or 20 dribbles a possession with the way he backs guys down into the paint if he gets a smaller guy on him. So that's one of his things that he's really good at. And that's something that I've really seen in Fale Dante get better at this year also, is just when he gets a guy on his back, that guy doesn't leave. He keeps him there and really gets as good positioning. What do you see? Do you see that same thing, Zach?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because there was this little sequence, and I think it was the USC game. It impressed me so much that I had to open up the notes app on my phone and just write it down. So 17 minutes left in the second half, he goes reverse spin bully ball to get a bucket. Next possession down, gets the ball on the block, and he kind of like holds it for a second on the block and is surveying, and then he delivers a one-handed pass across the court to Jacob Young in the corner for a three. And it's just like the way that you can do both of those things, he just has such a depth of offensive moves and offensive talent. And we talked to Dana Allman today, which, by the way, was the happiest I've ever seen Dana Allman. I think he might have like just smiled and just, he was very relaxed, which was,
he smiled on the court. He smiled on the court amazing. Of the Arizona game. That was great. Or the Arizona USC game.
One thing he said that got me really excited is like Dante is still not playing up to his full potential. Like he's like, he can get so much better, and he's still just kind of getting used to this and playing this number of minutes. And so I'm really fascinated to watch over the next month how much better he gets and how much more amazed we get at how he plays.
No, I completely agree. And he is he can take the ceiling and raise the ceiling. The ceiling is the roof along with his potential, right? He can take it and really raise it up, and he can make this team. I mean, I've been talking about them as a national championship contender, but he could make them a prime time contender that people are actually talking about and a force to be reckoned with on the defensive side, especially if he can stay out of foul trouble. So I am shocked that this Duck team is not ranked after two top 10 victories. That seems like
two top five victories.
Yeah, two top five victories. UCLA falls to 9, USC falls to 16. So it seems like more disrespect, honestly, just to the losses to the Ducks. What do you guys think about that? That's really interesting.
Is that anything new, though? I mean,
that's true.
I think it's kind of the classic Pac-12 disrespect. And it's funny, even having, you know, with last week having two teams in the top five, and the Pac-12 was still looked at like a second rate basketball school conference. So yeah. the fact that, you know, this Oregon team is looked at as like that, those are looked at as bad losses compared to good wins for Oregon, isn't shocking. But once Oregon can put together another week like that, and if they can take care of some other teams in the Pac-12, I mean, if they can play the way they did, and the UCLA game wasn't perfect either. I mean, that shit game should not have been in overtime. And the USC game, I mean, like you guys said, they went wire to wire, but there was a couple stretches there where USC was missing some good looks, and Oregon did get a little bit fortunate. So, but if they can still put that same sort of performance out there against some of these other teams and get some big double digit victories, then I think we'll see them. I don't think they'll be like a 24 or 23rd ranked team. I think they'll jump like immediately to 15.
That'd be interesting. I mean, they've got six losses right now. It looks like the game on Thursday has been postponed, so that's unfortunate. But right now they are scheduled for Washington on Sunday. I'm looking to see there's that Arizona game. So February 19th is a game that I think we definitely need to circle there. That's a crazy three-game stretch right there. So you're at Tucson, and then you come right back the 24th and 26th to host the rematch against UCLA and USC. So that's gonna tell us everything we need to know right there. That's a beautiful stretch of basketball for this Duck team to establish dominance in the conference, or to show that they're just going to be kind of a middling team. So Zach, curious to think, where do you think that this Duck team will be when we get to that point in February?
I think they can keep. I mean, I think that eventually they will get back into that top 25, but I've heard a lot of fans look at that recently and be like, we just beat two top five teams. Why are we not ranked? Like, we're obviously one of the better teams in the nation. You got to realize how far down this team was after those first 12 games. I mean, you look at the net rankings, they were 91st a week ago, and now they're up to 58th. So, I mean, they're if the season were to end tomorrow, they're in the tournament. So, I mean, that's good. And I think they'll, if we keep playing like this, if they keep showing us what they can do, I think they could go into the tournament as a six or a seven seed. I think they could be pretty good and get a good draw there. But I, like you said, those games down the stretch are going to show us everything. And what I really want to see is this upcoming week. They've got, as it stands now, assuming nothing else gets postponed, they've got three games at home against not amazing Pac-12 teams, you know, three
beatable opponents.
Three teams they should beat. Yep. And so the mark of a good team is winning the games that you're supposed to win. So I really want to see if they can keep this energy up and keep going forward and actually get more wins on the schedule. And if they can do that, then I think they should really start to be taken seriously nationally.
I'm going to go ahead and predict right now that this team's going to go 7-1 over their next eight before they go play Arizona. They're going to drop one of the mountain trip games because it's impossible to go play the Colorado-Utah trip and not drop one of, if not both of those games.
It's the altitude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It gets you. I mean, we've talked about this for years. We've talked about it for years that it's an impossible advantage for those two teams. So I'm saying they're going 7-1. I think that they're going to put themselves in the national spotlight, and that Arizona game is going to be a big-time primetime game.
And we usually call you crazy for your outlandish takes about basketball. I don't think that's at all crazy to say. I really think this team can go 7-1 over the next eight, and then that sets us up for, like you said, that huge three-game stretch, which will tell us a lot about us.
Well, and I understand some of where people are coming from with no fans in those LA games. I think that does make an impact. It definitely makes an impact, but not enough to where the losses or the wins are defunct. They still matter. The game was still played. Both teams still had to play in the same environment. And, you know, one team came out victorious. So speaking of great environments, Shane, I'm excited to talk to you and hear about this women's environment at Matthew Knight Arena, because those games look like a lot of fun. I was very, very jealous of you for the Arizona game there on Saturday, and then for the big time game against UConn. Just a really, really fun environment, especially to go to OT. Like, it just looked like a ton of fun. So I just tell us a little bit about what that was like on the positive side of the environment there in those games.
The Arizona game on Saturday was one of my favorite days ever in Matthew Knight Arena. It wasn't, I mean, I'd say it was somewhere probably close to 2/3 full. I don't even know if they really announced the attendance, but I mean, the fight back, coming back from, I think, down 17 in the third and down 12 or 13 in the start of the fourth quarter, but just this epic comeback, and then have it go to overtime and end the way it did. It was as loud in there as I remember it being when Dylan Brooks hit that shot against UCLA.
That's the game I was going to bring up. That's so funny that you talk about. Oh man, love
it. Love it. It had that same sort of, actually, when we have our seats in section 216 and it's the front row and when the upper deck when India Rogers got that tip in or that put back, I jumped up and actually like undercut my leg and I almost fell over into like the section below. Luckily Aisha, my wife, I kind of grabbed my arm and I like kind of caught my balance there, but lost track of my surroundings and just like it could have been, it would have been the worst, but it probably would have had a couple of bumps and bruises.
Yeah. Out of body experience, out of seat experience for sure. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
But I do want to talk about like the comeback a little bit. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but it was really sparked when Oregon brought in Cheyenne Pinto and Filipina Kai?
Che.
There we go. And it was weird because there was people around me who kind of felt like they were throwing in the towel a little bit. And I mean, at that point, it was like an 11, 12 point game, something like that. And they forced so many turnovers, got so many fast breaks. And then eventually bringing Sedona Prince and Niara Sobley back in. Niara Sobley looked like she may have been injured right before that. And I believe that was why Filipina came in. And I mean, she had like full new lifeblood and there was so much energy in the gym. Sedona Prince looked like a professional wrestler at half court at one point, just like screaming. It was awesome. One of the best games I've ever been to.
I jumped off the couch a couple of times when Pinto got offensive rebounds and when she just out-muscled girls for that ball. Like, my coach heart was just exploding with joy. She only got credited for 4 rebounds, but I think all 4 of them had to have been in the fourth quarter because it was just, it felt like big rebound after big rebound after big rebound. So, Zach, you were there also for these games. So I'm curious to hear, what was it like from the press side over there on the other side of the stadium?
It was really interesting. I mean, you hate, as a media member, you almost hate comebacks because a lot of the time you have your story written and then they come back from 17 down. It's like, crap, what am I going to do now? But that was so much
fun to
watch.
It's like the teacher changing the homework assignment.
Yeah, so behind the scenes. I like
gotta scrap everything once they do that. But it's funny you mentioned Pinto because I think if we're doing 2 MVPs from the weekend, I mean, I don't know if they win MVP, but you really have to shout out Shania Pinto and Kylie Watson for their play in both the Arizona and UConn games. They don't show up on the stat sheet, but they were so pivotal to the success. And I know that Kylie Watson had the third best plus minus in the UConn game of all the players. And it's like what she was doing for that team is just so, so impressive. But then the storyline is, I mean, Tahina Pau-Pau and Sedona Prince are playing like we expected them to play. And it's so much fun to watch. I know that Tahina is JD's, I think, one of favorite players ever. And it's like, I was never out on her, but I'm so in on her and just watching her flex on people and just the swagger that she plays with. It's just like, I don't want to root for anyone more than I want to root for her. And it's so much fun to watch when she's on. And same with Sedona. I mean, when she starts hitting that little mid-range and she can control the offense,
starts flexing on him out there. Yeah.
Like, who's guarding that? Who's stopping that? So, I just came away from the weekend incredibly impressed with talent on this team and the depth and the bench players. And they're just playing like a really cohesive unit.
And they're fighting hard too. Yes. I mean, just this whole team top to bottom, just fuck, they give a shit and it's fun to watch. I mean, I think Cheyenne Pinto is becoming my wife's favorite player. At one point during the UConn game, she was kind of like, why doesn't she play more? And I was kind of like, well, she's still in this kind of like specialist role. And I mean, it is cool to kind of like we were talking about with Frank earlier, just like this plug and play player that's just instant energy. And then I want to piggyback on what Zach was saying about Kylie Watson. I got retweeted by most of the Watson family when I said that she was having one of her I don't take shit from anybody games on Monday against UConn. And I mean, there was
so happy.
There was so much outside of the box score that, that she was doing. I mean, you just put her in and like, cause it was a good game for a little bit. I mean, Oregon really ran away with it, but UConn was playing really good basketball, especially defensively. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they were shooting it well, and they were really like the dominant team on the floor. And when Kylie Watson came in, she just starts pushing fucking people around and like, just like, it's so funny. She'll just like stare at people like nothing, like won't say anything, but just like make eye contact with them. And you can tell that other person's like, well, fuck that.
Just burns into their soul. Yeah. No, she, and she got 22 minutes in that game. I mean, she played one more minute than Nyara Sabali in that game. So she really got an opportunity to shine, and she really took advantage of it.
You mentioned Nyara. I just want to give a shout out to Matthew Knight fans. Like, as Shane said, it was some of the best like basketball environment out there, but it, any fan base can be loud and excited, but the silence that came over that crowd when Nyara went down with the knee injury, it's like, it kind of shows you like how truly in depth these fans care and how much they know about the sport and know about her. And the fact that like they can go from this raucous environment to where you could literally hear a pin drop in that arena while everyone's just kind of like waiting with bated breath, hoping that she gets up. So that was one of my favorite. It feels weird to say one of my favorite moments of the weekend, but like just seeing like how much care there was for the players and for one of the star players, it just, it tells you everything you need to know about that fan base.
Mm-hmm. No, that those fans are invested. Those fans are invested. That is for absolute sure. And my investment in Tahina Pau Pau as a fandom may cause some problems in my relationship, because I was going absolutely bonkers rooting for her on the couch. And Kendra's like, why do you root for her so much? I was like, you don't understand. Like, I've been a fan of her since she was a junior in high school. Like, her game is a game that I have absolutely loved to watch. The way her defense hasn't translated the way that I kind of hoped it would, but her, the way that she's just a magician with the basketball and the joy that she plays with. I always used to say, you know, this is a weird tangent, but I didn't really get into soccer that much until I got into Ronaldinho when I was a kid, and like the whole Jogo Bonito movement, like play beautiful movement. And I used to talk about that all the time in basketball. And she just epitomizes that to me. Like every time I see her out, I'm just like, Jogo Bonito, especially when she had the big afro out there the other day. Like that was super duper fun. I need a 12 jersey. University of Oregon, you need to make Tahina Pau Pau jerseys. Don't wait till they left like KT. Don't make it a big money grab, all that kind of stuff. Give us the Tahina Pau Pau jerseys now. Give the people what they want.
This topic might be coming up in three questions. That's all I'm
going to
say.
Well, I love it. Real quick, when you mentioned Tahina Pau Pau's defense, she watching her in the arena is really special, because you notice a few of the things that she does. She gets the most near steals on like those genius basketball plays where she like walk away from like turn her back to the baseline with her inbounding and then like dart in, or just like so sneaky like double team on the backside. And like there was so many times in the Arizona game where she was like getting her hand on the ball but just not enough to poke it away. And then on top of that, which Zach was saying earlier with her kind of like attitude and swagger, she does some of the funniest shit you'll ever see. Anytime she gets knocked down, gets a basket inside, there's so much you see in the arena that you don't get to see on the telecast that is just fucking hilarious. It is. I've never wanted a player to be better, I think, ever than Tahina Pau Pau. Like I wouldn't say she's my favorite player, but I want her to be a fucking superstar just because she's so much fun to watch.
Well, and Shane, you were in the arena with me too. And I think it was the first quarter against UConn, her drive to the right side of the basket and her hesitation move, she gave that little hezzy and the crowd literally just let out like a, oh, she finished the layup and cut it to 1 point. And then later they took the lead, but it was like, it's that type of, she has that star power already where people are just like waiting to see what she does next. And it's so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think she is a star. I've been saying that she's a star for a long time. And somebody, this is kind of off topic here. Are you guys done with women's basketball? Is that everything we need for women's basketball? I think we're good. Yeah, looking forward to, you know, them playing next few games here. Let me take a peek before I jump on that segue. Looks like they've got Washington on Friday, and then Utah and Colorado at home the next following week. So a couple of big games for them, but again, winnable games. So one person I'm really interested to see if they will become a star is Mr. Robbie Ashford, who committed to the Auburn Tigers, and I think is going to step right in and compete for that starting job. And everybody was kind of making the joke that it was basically a trade, you know, Bo Nix for Robbie Ashford. I want to know from you guys, who won that trade?
Did we also have to give in Jason Jones and DJ James?
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, that's what everybody was saying. Is
like, then they won that trade.
We talked about if Jason Jones and Bo Nix was a who won the trade already. So I'm like, we add two more pieces. Yeah, But then it's funny, like, when we were talking about that, we kind of got, like, this weird, like, fake argument. It was kind of like, oh, wait, this is, like, all hypothetical dumb shit. Like, it wasn't actually a trade. It was like it all like happened again on Twitter, and it was so fun to watch. People were like, no, Oregon won the trade. And I'm like, no, dude, you guys are arguing about nothing. It's nothing. Yeah, it's a trade. Literally, it's not a trade.
You mad, son? You mad, son? No. So I'm curious. I think he's going to do really well down there. I think, like I said, he's going to compete for the starting job. And as we've talked about before on this podcast, we are a player-friendly pod. Go get the bag. Go get your best opportunity. All the best. You know, returning home to your home state. You know, so go get it. Go get it. Where are we going to be rooting for you, Robbie?
Well, yeah, that one time,
go back home.
Yeah, yeah, the one time I met Robbie Ashford's dad came into my work and picked up takeout. We were kind of talking to him because he mentioned that Robbie Ashford was his son, like, immediately. And so we were kind of like, oh, like, how do you like Eugene? Blah, 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 blah. And he was like, he like told us that he really liked it here. But he said it like he was trying not to offend the people that live in the town that he's talking about currently. And I could kind of tell it like immediately. So when he went back home to Alabama, I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
All right, one last bit of transfer news that I want to get to before we jump to Zachary Neal's recruiting corner. My heart was broken. The guy that I had all of my offseason hopes resting on, Mr. Brendan Rice, decided not only to go somewhere else, but he took his talents to LA and put on that Trojan red and gold. Ugh. And I just, my heart breaks. I'm very sad. If Caleb Williams ends up going there, I might throw up. It's going to be like a physical reaction. So, I mean, again, we're a player-friendly podcast. Happy for you. Go get your best opportunity, Mr. Rice. But my goodness, would you have looked good in green and yellow and playing in Autzen Stadium and just being that stud, absolute stud possession wide receiver that we really needed.
Can I offer a new transfer target for you to put all of your energy behind?
Okay, I'm interested. I'm listening.
Chase Cota from UCLA. Oregon royalty with his dad.
Yeah, Ed Cota. Got to shout out Ed Cota for sure.
No, it's Chad, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's Chad. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Chad Cota, part of the Mean Green defense. And
he looks,
I don't know, he's
legit.
A good veteran receiver. I would like him for some depth up here. He's definitely not the son of Jerry Rice. I would give you that, but we lost him. So I'm hoping for the next best thing.
Well, and the reason why I got behind Rice is because when we played Colorado, that was literally a conversation I had with Shane. I was like, can we just trade for him? Can he just come be a Duck?
I think we decided on Micah Pittman and Spencer Webb.
Micah Pittman and Spencer Webb was the trade.
I would
and
make that deal 10 times out of 10.
We were just trying to fit Spencer Webb in a trade.
Yeah, I just wanted to get him off campus some way, one way or another. Okay, so with all of the transfer news kind of talked about out there, let's jump over to recruiting corner now. Zach's got some news for us, so Mr. Zachary Neal, hit us.
So it happened last night. Three-star wide receiver / cornerback Justice Lowe from Lake Oswego area committed to the Ducks. So that's it's a bigger deal than it's kind of getting credit for, because people see the three-star and they're like, who is this? Like, it's not a big deal. He's the number 4 player in Oregon, and he really went kind of unrecruited until late November, December. He was committed to Utah and then decommitted a few days ago. But, I mean, Notre Dame had offered him. USC had offered him. Some big schools really wanted him, and he stayed home for the Ducks, rather. But there's a few other names that I'm really interested in. One guy that the Ducks recently offered is this running back from Texas, Andrew Paul, where there's a really good athletic piece about him that came out a few days ago. Some people are calling him like the next Bo Jackson,
what?
Which You say that and my ears automatically perk up.
I mean, literally going to YouTube right now. What are you talking about?
He rushed in his senior season at Texas. He rushed for, I think, like 2,000 something yards, 41 touchdowns, and led them to the state championship. And he didn't have like any recruits from like Power Five schools in December. And then over the past 2 or 3 weeks, he's gotten recruits or offers from Alabama, Miami, USC, Texas, like all of the big names. And Oregon just offered him, and Dan Lanning was down on in-state visit for him. So, and from what I read, he says Oregon is firmly in the mix. So yeah, let me know what you think once you see that video, JD.
I love watching him search. He's like, wait, what?
No, I needed immediately to go find out what's going on.
That was like the headline of the Athletic article. It's like comparing him to Bo Jackson.
Yeah,
like,
44 touchdowns? Okay. Wow. Okay. All right. Too. Hand off. Legit. I should screen share this so you guys can watch. Okay. Juke. Okay.
Is he big?
He's not. Doesn't look like he's.
I think he's
huge.
Like 5'11". He's not huge.
6 foot 215. So I mean, he's solid.
Yeah, he's
that was solid. Impressive. That was impressive. All right, here's the second run I'm watching. Nope. Oh wow. Okay. All right. And I don't know. When you bring up Bo Jackson's name, I mean, like, right. I was one of those kids that grew up in that John. Like, yeah.
It sounds hyperbolic.
Oh, I like his jump cut though. He's got a sexy jump cut, and he is fast.
So just to keep going, a couple other names that I'm interested in is Christian Miller is the number two unsigned defensive lineman in the nation, and everyone kind of thought that he was going to Georgia. It was penciled in. Then he took a visit to Eugene, I think, last week, and came out of us like being like, that was amazing. Oregon is absolutely in the mix for me. Like, I'm really, really high on them. And same thing with Jaden Wayne, who is he's not a 22 prospect. He's a 2023 five-star D end, but he came to Oregon last weekend and was like, wow, pretty much everyone that come here is saying once they leave, like, that was amazing. I'm blown away right now. So
He just juked a ref on this highlight. That was incredible. I'm seeing him just run away from a lot of guys, but he's also, All right.
But he's running away from other high school players in Texas.
True.
In Texas.
That's very, very true. Yeah. State and there's multiple games, multiple different games here, multiple different looks, multiple jump cuts behind the line of scrimmage, running through a ton of arm tackles. Yeah. All right. I'm in. I'm an Andrew Paul fan. I'm in.
Athletic
piece about him because it laid out his background and why no one looked at him, and it's pretty impressive.
When I like, Justin, he says, go ahead.
Is it more impressive than the Noah Sewell running back highlight tape from a couple years ago? Because that's still the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yes, because this is Texas football and not Utah.
No, but I mean just straight visually.
Oh, no. Oh, he got caught. That's the first time somebody's caught him from behind. He's not running over. He's not like trucking as many people. Okay. He's making a couple, 2, 3, 4 moves in one run and then breaking for the end zone. So, I mean, it's impressive. It reminds me a little bit of what's his name? Sean Dollars tape. Is what it reminds me of, kind of that combination of speed, but then also that compact power.
Also lower his shoulder.
Yep. Ooh, good hands there. I like that. Okay. So this is turning into an Andrew Paul love fest, but yeah, love it. Thank you for that information, Zach. So good stuff there. I'm going to stop watching this so now I can focus. No, I don't want to go to the mom project. What is this? Get the heck out of here.
Well, okay. I think with the last player you're talking about, I don't remember the name you said, but the defensive end, that 2023 class is where I'm really excited to see like the Lanning effect, because while I do think that he will get a couple more players in this 2022 class that are going to be exciting and something for us to watch for, it's so hard to judge what he's going to be doing just because he's, you know, this crazy offseason of winning a national title and immediately going and starting a new job. The next day, anybody who's quit a job and then started a new one within like 48 hours, you know, it's like one of the weirdest fucking things you can ever do. So while I'm like excited about it, I don't really put a lot of weight into some of these players, and especially like this late in the recruiting cycle or the signing cycle and everything. It's a funky time.
It's true. It's very, very true. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I like the landing effect, though. It sounds like a movie or something like that, or like a Showtime TV show. Just noticing, totally off subject here, Auburn got 36 first place votes for the AP top 25 poll, and Gonzaga got 25, but Gonzaga is the number one team. That doesn't make any sense at all. I was told there'd be no math, ladies and gentlemen, so yeah, that makes zero sense at all. So speaking of random questions, let's jump into our favorite segment, three questions. I want Zach to go first this week, and then I'm going to go, and then Shane is going to go last. I like that. So let's go ahead and have Zach start us off with three questions.
So we kind of touched on this a good amount earlier, but one of my questions was, if you can have any Ducks jersey from history, who are you picking? And also, what current player are you picking? So this means like full jersey, like name on the back, not talking about like some Kayvon number 5 jersey without his name. But if you get any player from history, whose jersey do you want? And then what current player do you want?
I mean, current is obviously easy for me. It's Tahina Paopao.
That's mine too.
Yeah, I talked about this guy before. Well, no, I guess I talked about his running mate. I was a huge Ricky Whittle fan, so I would love an old school Ricky Whittle jersey. I think that would be really cool. Now, if I could get the Dino Filia one to match and just have like the matching set from that backfield, that would make my like 11-year-old heart, like my little 11-year-old kid heart, very, very happy. So that's probably the answer I'd go with right off. That's the first thing that comes to my head. I'm sure there's some other good answers out there, like a Freddie Jones one would be pretty sick on the basketball side. Yeah, but that'd probably be my answer on the football side. What do you got, Shane?
My former players would be either my all-time favorite Duck, I think, ever, Satu Sabli.
I knew that was coming.
Satu WNBA jersey, so the Oregon one.
That's awesome.
Also, a guy that I went to school with in major quotations, but a guy that we hung out with a lot that I'd love to have his jersey, Josh Kadu. You guys remember him?
Yeah.
Football player.
Good one.
That guy is a good time. So having a Josh Kadu jersey would be cool. For current players, man, that's a good question.
I know
Spencer Webb, right?
Probably. I'd probably go with Kylie Watson.
Yep.
Frank Kepning. Or I don't, this sounds like sad. Would Travis Dye count as a current player right now in this day? He hasn't signed anywhere next.
We'll count it. We'll put it on the board. Yep.
I'd love it. Those would probably be my three.
Oh, one other transfer we didn't mention was Trey Benson signing at Florida State. Yeah. Yeah. All the best to him also.
Another crazy high school tape.
Yeah, also. Yeah, absolutely.
My answer, to keep it different from Justin, I mean, if I'm being honest, I really want a Tahino jersey.
Oh, my God. He's awesome. So sick.
But if for current player, if I could get a Troy Franklin jersey,
ooh,
I think that'd be so cool. Okay. I would wear that with so much pride. And then former player, I think I wanted TJ Ward.
I think that's a good one.
He was one of my favorite NFL players. He wanted to play for the Broncos, which is my favorite NFL team. And yeah, I think just some of the hits that he had in college, it's like, yeah, how would you not feel like the most powerful man in the bar while wearing a TJ Ward jersey?
True.
I guess I would be forlorn if I didn't bring up my abducted son, Ty Thompson. Also, I need a Ty Thompson jersey. So yeah.
No Sewell. I changed my answer from Travis. No Sewell.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
All right. Number two.
All right. Next question. If you have to bet on one NFL team who will go the next 5 years without winning a playoff game, who are you betting on?
That's a good question. Because I think Detroit's going to get good here pretty soon.
Exactly. It's like kind of playing the long game.
Jacksonville has a good chance of being good. I'm going to say Cleveland. Just because I think Baker Mayfield is a dumpster fire. Look at what OBJ is doing right now for the Rams. And like people want to say like his fucking career was over.
Only because I wish bad things on this team because of what they did to my guy, David Culley. But I'm going to say the Houston Texans. because I think they fall into some shambles with this whole Deshaun Watson situation. Now, if they hire Brian Flores, I redact that. I change my answer.
That's true. That's
but
true.
I don't think they're going to get Flores. I think he's going to go somewhere else. But yeah, just because, I haven't cursed yet. Fuck the Houston Texans. I think they, they're the team.
I read something on Twitter that Ryan Flores may have been let go because the owner wanted Deshaun Watson. So I highly doubt that he's going to throw his name into that mix. If that is true, that's just something I read.
Interesting.
You ready for my answer?
This is going to hurt me, isn't it?
I think it might be the Seahawks.
Damn, I knew it. I knew one of you was going to say it. I knew one of you was going to say it.
No,
I think Russ is going to get traded. That might be a purely odds pick. I mean, I'd get pretty good odds on that bet for it being the Seahawks, but I don't know, man.
I don't think hate
they might
the,
be headed downhill.
But they have assets, though. Jamal Adams, Russ. Suck.
Yeah, Adams isn't an asset, unfortunately. I think Russ, I saw a deal
they
for him going
all
to
picks with Adams.
That's true.
But they can trade him for things. There's teams that will give shit up for him, especially like Kansas City or Tampa Bay, like a good team that's missing a secondary piece.
An overpaid safety.
I like the deal I saw of him going to Philly.
He only sucked when he played for the Seahawks.
That's true.
Yeah, that's very true.
Because doesn't
that's what makes
Philly
me so happy.
Philly's got what, 3 first round picks?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I saw, I think it was 2 of those first round picks in Hurts for Wilson.
Oh, for Wilson. I thought you were going to say for Adams. And I was like,
no. And I didn't hate that. I actually don't hate that. I actually like Hurts. I like Hurts more than other people, I think. And if he was playing in a Petey Sunshine offense, he might actually, if it was just all that what you saw for Philly, like all downhill running style, that might actually not be too bad. All right. Question number 3.
All right. We're taking it back to old times before electricity was invented. What skill are you bringing to the table?
Oh, fuck. I think about this all the time. I'd be such a terrible, so, like if like in an apocalypse situation or something like that.
I'd be like court jester, I think, probably.
Hey, everybody, every pub needs a good bartender. Every pub needs a good bartender.
I don't know if I could like bartend though in like the pre-electricity era of just like manly men and like guns and shit. And I don't know how long I'd last.
Man, that's really interesting. I'd like to think if I like grew up in that environment, I'd be like a blacksmith.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to think.
I think I'd be like a carpenter or something. Yeah. Like I'm pretty good with like woodworking and stuff like that. Like I'm working on the project that about, where I'm just like building stuff. And so like a carpenter, I think I'd be pretty good at.
I said I'd like to think, Shane, not that that's what would happen. I could also see myself being like a Knight's Tale situation, like being like not a knight or whatever, but like the guy that's like the squire, like who comes from like terrible, like I'm all broke and poor and whatnot.
It like off whatever skill set you actually have. You're like, no, I'd like to think I'm a blacksmith. Meanwhile, you have zero blacksmithing like experience.
But if I grew up in that time, Shane, things would be totally different.
But
you know what I mean? Don't bring logic to this conversation.
Yeah, I think if I... maybe like farming or something. I think I could probably like
get away with some farming.
I could probably swing that.
Yeah, I should say if our current selves were placed back in that time, what would we do?
If it was just me right now, I'd be dead. Just die. I'd be
dead. Yeah, because my hands are too. I just go fall asleep in the snow. Somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are all better off without me. This is just another mouth to feed.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because, like I said, Kendra's never watched Game of Thrones, and so we're watching that for the first time. And so I think about that all the like, what would I do? Like, what skill would I bring? What would have I been drawn to? Like, I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. So yeah, great question, Zach. Great question.
I've none of those skills though.
All right. Let me pull up the old notes application here. Okay. Question number 1. What is the geekiest and or nerdiest thing that you own in your household?
Oh man.
I don't know, man. I'm pretty cool.
Yeah, I think I'm like the main geek. So like, as I look,
it's like I don't have Darth Vader sitting next to me.
Well, and I've got like fucking Stormbreaker and a lightsaber up there. Like, I'm a total fucking nerd. So maybe this is only a question geared towards me. But I figured you guys had something like thing from like a fandom or something. But your record collection might be geeky, Shane.
Okay. Yeah. I have a decent amount of hip hop vinyl from the 90s to early 2000s. If you ask my wife, it would probably be like shit like this, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
the duck stuff. Yeah,
all the Oregon shit. And I do have like a pretty large selection of like knockoff jerseys. I do a lot of DH Gate. I don't really wear them that often. I just like having them. I also own like 1,000 movies. Is that like they're not Marvel?
Yeah, well, you are. Well, but that is like because you were out of the Netflix world, you were out of the streaming world. You know what I mean? So that's understandable. No,
It was kind of more out of necessity than.
No, I think your record collection is like your cool geeky thing that you have going. I think Zach's has to do something with golf. He's got to have some golf thing.
Literally, just gonna say. I don't think it is nerdy or geeky, but I have like putting mats and chipping mats and like every golf thing that you can think of. So
that's fucking geeky.
I'm sure my wife would say that that's the nerdiest
thing.
She
would.
You are dressed like you just went golfing right now.
Yes, this is pretty much that's what I wear 90% of the time. So
all right. So second question. I don't remember what I was doing when this came on. I don't usually watch, but so what game show would you go on if you could go on any game show?
Oh, I'm gonna jump right in here. So my wife's like lifelong dream was to go on Supermarket Sweep. So when she was younger, she would watch the old reruns and she thought it was still like going. And so it was like her favorite TV show. I never really got into it too much, but then when she told me that, I was like, well, that's adorable. You know, like, let's watch some of this show. Let's see why you're so into it. They recently brought it back. Leslie Jones from SNL is the host. I think they're doing, we got an email because we've applied to be on the show a few times.
Yes.
It's a crazy process. The application process.
Oh, I bet.
It's super long and you have to include all these photos of yourself and stuff like that. But we actually have, I wish it was up here right now. We have a whiteboard where we've drawn out the entire store from just watching the show. And like,
that's the geekiest thing you own, right there.
So, yeah. So we have like where, what aisles have what things in them, and we've like game planned it. So 100%
phenomenal.
Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, I love that. That's phenomenal. I'm so happy I asked that question now. Yeah, oh, that's beautiful. What do you got, Zach? Hilarious.
I would like to say Jeopardy because I love trivia so much, but if I'm being honest, I'd be much better at Wheel of Fortune because I'm really good with like word games, stuff like that. Like, are you guys playing Wordle?
Oh, dude, I'm on an 11-day streak.
No, I'm resisting it.
So much.
I'm resisting it. It's too fatty.
Oh, it's so good.
It's too fatty. Too many people are into it. No.
No, dude, it's like, it's because it's so simple. It's just a website. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great game. I got my mother-in-law playing it last night.
Okay. That's all a right. Fun one. I'm going to say I have two answers. Wheel of Fortune, because I used to watch it with my grandma all the time when she lived in the house with us back when I was in like fifth and sixth grade. And we get in like arguments. We'd like legitimately like compete over like, we'd like have like keep score of like who was closer to stuff like that. Ooh. Cause she was all about her Wheel of Fortune. Then, this is kind of niche, but I want to go on one of those bad baking shows. Like, I'm not a good cook at all, but I think it'd be fun to go on what's the name of the Great British Baking Challenge or whatever, British Bake Off, but they bring on like non-bakers. I think that would be really fun and just like make a mess of things and make something explode. I don't know.
I think one of the most fun ones that I don't necessarily think I'd be good at, but would be fun to go on is just like Wipeout. Or like the old NXT show.
Oh, yeah.
That would just be such a fun time to go with friends and do all of that.
Man, my dad loves that show. He watches that for hours on hours. Papa Duck is just a huge Wipeout fan. And he loved what was the Steph Curry one that like combined it with like,
it was like
golf or whatever? Like, yeah. Oh, that was his favorite show last summer. Oh, man.
That's funny. I always wonder who watches those things. But
it's my dad.
Wipeout, if you ever find yourself bartending someday and there's no sporting events on, put Wipeout on. People eat that shit up.
It's good to know. I like that. All right. This this unintentionally kind of piggybacks off of what Zach asked earlier. But if you could instantly be 10 times better at one particular skill, what would it be?
Singing.
Singing. Oh, I like it. Okay.
God, I always wish I could sing. Like, I fucking love music and I listen to it all the time and I sing along to shit and then I hear myself. I'm like, God, like even in my own head, you know what I mean? Like in the best, like in the shower, whatever. I'm like, oh, like, no.
The first thing that came to my head was golf, because I think if I was 10 times better at golf, I'd actually have like a chance to be like
10 times golfer. Is a lot.
That's a mm-hmm. lot.
If you and think I'm about it, like, yeah, 10 times is a golf. Lot. Mm-hmm.
But that seems like a boring answer. So I'd love to say like piano. I've always wanted to like be able to be really good at piano. I played it as a kid, but then of course stopped. But that's always interested me. So if I could actually like play that adequately, that'd be a lot of fun.
I like that. I like that. I don't know if coaching's a skill, but that's my obvious answer. Yeah. Like if like motivating and just like all that kind of stuff. Secondary answer would be hitting a tennis ball with a baseball bat. That would be my second answer.
So I think that's new first answer.
And shout out to our one or two listeners that will get that reference. All right. There's my three questions. What do you got, Shane?
All right. Is there any TV show or movie that is upcoming or about to release that you are most excited about watching? There's some good ones.
Ozark Friday.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say that.
That's upcoming. Friday. Okay. All right.
Or, you know, that you haven't seen yet. Something new, fresh. Not like an old rewatch you're going back to or anything like that.
One show that I just listened to a podcast about that I'm kind of interested in watching is Station 11. On HBO Max. I haven't watched any of it yet, but it hits a
way through it.
Really? Are you okay?
It's a lot.
It hits home. It hits really close to home.
And Zach watches Succession, so
Well, it's like I binged the first 5 episodes one night and like I haven't watched it since, because you have to pay such close attention. Mm-hmm. And it's like so out there that it's like, wow, you really have to kind of, I'm amping myself to get back up into it. Mm-hmm. Like but it's really good. It's well done.
If I'm going to go just like upcoming TV show though, I know Last Kingdom, the last season is coming soon. And that's probably like what I'm actually like really looking for. Movie wise, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness is going to be excellent. That's coming out in a couple months.
Aquaman 2.
No, I'm not really an Aquaman guy. Not really an Aquaman guy. I am a nerd. I accept it.
Have you guys watched? Okay, go ahead. Have you watched Abbott Elementary on ABC?
No, I've heard of it. I've heard it's pretty funny though, especially as a teacher.
Yeah, it's really good. It's fun. It's nice and like lighthearted.
I think it's just gonna make me sad though. Like it's meant to be funny, but I'm just thinking to see too much realism in the comedy. Yeah,
I've heard it as a teacher. It's very real, but no, I've really enjoyed that one. It's fun.
Ooh, good question, Shane.
I really want to watch. I just started a show, Archive 81, on Netflix that I'm pretty excited about. I just did one episode.
Also, read about that. I've been told to watch that.
First episode, it was kind of like, where the hell is this? And then the end, you're like, okay, fucking, I'm in. And then it's out in the theaters right now, Licorice Pizza, the new Paul Thomas Anderson, I'm really excited about. And I watched the first 20 minutes maybe of The Tragedy of Macbeth with my wife, and she doesn't really dig on Shakespeare, so I decided to bail on it, but I think I'm gonna watch it tomorrow maybe or the next day.
What's that on?
Apple TV.
Oh, okay.
I might, but it's in the theater right now, so it'll be on other shit later.
Okay. All right.
But it is fucking beautiful. Like cinematography is about as good as it gets. It's in like black and white, and I think it's shot on the
That's 80
millimeter, whatever.
Speaking of beautiful cinematography, either of you guys watch Euphoria?
No. I'm pretty aware of it, but I haven't really.
Talk about intense show.
Yeah.
They shot,
I watched Kids.
Exactly.
I watched Kids when I was younger. I don't know if I need to watch the new version.
it's a little weird, but it's a really good show. And the cinematography is just unreal.
That's another one, like working with that age group. Like I have a hard time watching some of those shows sometimes.
I don't blame you at all. Any parent that like knows about it and is willing to let their kids watch it is probably like, whew, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's probably not a good call. All right. On that note, next question. So we kind of did this one earlier, but it's from a bit of a different angle. If you were an NFL coach and you were applying for a job, which one would you be trying to get?
Of the open jobs right now?
Right, exactly, yeah.
But you remind us the open jobs.
Giants, Jaguars, Texans, potentially the Seahawks.
How dare you?
The Seahawks.
Well, I mean, come on. Like, I think he's gonna retire soon. But
I think my answer would be the Jaguars, just because of Trevor Lawrence. Like, you've got one of potentially the next great quarterbacks, and that's looks pretty enticing.
It's also the Raiders are also out there.
It's true.
So yeah, we got the Raiders, the Broncos, the Jaguars, the Dolphins. The Bears, the Vikings.
Oh, I forgot the
Giants and the Texans. I'm probably taking the Dolphins. If the Seahawks come available, obviously. Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
I'll go. Why? You're not going to win a playoff game for 5 years.
How dare you, sir? I am 10 times a better coach now. And so if I'm going up there to do that, then I'm going to be a fucking rock star. And I will fit right in with the whole yoga program they've got up there in Seattle. It's like the whole everybody love everybody. I'll be like the new young PD Sunshine, baby. Let's go.
All right. Let's do we get our answers in there? Yeah. These questions are segueing great. All right.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go with this question here. So I've sparked some debate on Twitter over this question. I did like an all Pacific Northwest basketball team. My qualification is basically that they played here for an extended period of time in a non-professional sense. So college with high school combined, if they played at multiple high schools, stuff like that. Domantas Sabonis qualifies, for instance. Played high school for the most part overseas, but came back, played in Gonzaga. Born in Portland. So who would you have as the GOAT from the Pacific Northwest? I can throw some names out there to kind of spark it a little bit.
Yeah.
If you use the first name, then use like a 1B, because John Stockton, Terrence Ross, Sabonis, Kevin Love, Kyle Singler, Jamal Crawford, Brandon Roy, Jason Terry, Kevin Porter Jr.
I mean, you'd have to say Brandon Roy probably burned as bright as anybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, Stockton is obviously like all time. I think you kind of have to almost have to take him out of the conversation.
Fucking hate the Jazz.
I hear you. I think
I'm going Jay crossover.
I like it.
Just love him so much.
That's where I went to, and I caught a lot of shit for it.
I mean, I think, Brandon Roy burned the brightest. Kevin Love has had longevity, and over the last couple of years has been, just a sham of his former self. But
they actually might get a 3 seed this year.
he's actually playing well as a sixth man off the bench for him this year. I think I'm going to go Caleb.
He's got Caleb. A couple rings. He had a good college career at UCLA.
One I like, and this isn't necessarily what he did for basketball, but he was one of the first basketball players to come forward talking about mental health, and that's just now become. I think that's important, and so bringing that Northwest environment, and he hates the state of Oregon now, so he doesn't want to come back here. But I think that I'm gonna go Caleb.
I think Sabonis has some potential to put together a career that we might look at as
that'll rival him.
Yeah, I mean, he could potentially, if he kept on, this track, 24-11-8 for his career numbers, is pretty crazy. And then he also might end up on some weird new team soon. Because
he comes from good stock, so it makes sense.
And the Pacers are doing a fire sale. Bol Bol got traded. We didn't talk about that. Any of you guys think anything about that?
For the second time. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, Celtics, I don't know if he's going to get a chance to play all that much.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hope so.
That foot injury, that's such a bummer.
I liked him on Detroit more than Boston.
Yeah,
me too.
Because such a young core, that it would have been fun to see him come up in that. But
Cade throw him some alley-oops. That would have been
right. And they're probably going to move Jeremy Grant too. So they're going to have a real young looking team. Oh, Jeremy Grant, another Pacific Northwest basketball player.
Jefferson
High.
Yeah. Jeremiah.
Well, and Ridnour's got to be in that conversation, right? Luke Ridnour.
Idaho, yeah.
Yeah. Luke Jackson, but didn't really do anything at the NBA level.
Nah, I mean,
broke his back. Yeah.
Yeah. And he never really, the one player that I said that actually people were the most upset with by far was Michael Doliak.
Oh yeah. Old school.
Yeah. He won a state title at Central Catholic. took Utah national championship, lost to Kentucky, and won a title with the Miami Heat, backing up Shaq.
Hey, that's not bad.
That's a pretty good resume.
Well, especially from the Northwest. I mean, Washington basketball is infinitely better than Oregon high school basketball, and it's still not, you know,
and still not up there. Not a lot of big men.
No, no, definitely not.
Kevin definitely Love not. Is even a kind of small big man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he wasn't in high school. He was 6 foot. That was a monster. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
In high school.
He also saw all that baby fat on him.
Well, and you saw it. I mean, when he went to Cleveland that one year, just like shed everything, came back like a freaking Adonis or whatever. That was crazy. All right, gentlemen, I think that's all I've got. Do you guys have anything else as we look to wrap up the podcast today?
Nope.
No final thoughts. All right, just a bunch of shaking heads. Well,
ended on a real high note.
Yep, ended on a real energetic high note. Love it, gentlemen. Good stuff. Good stuff. As always, take care of your chicken. Take care of your mentals. We appreciate you. We love you. We out.
Peace. My love a cherry that had no stone. I gave my love a chicken that had no bones. I give.
Sorry.
You know you make me wanna shout. Kick my heels up and shout. Throw my hands up and shout. Throw my head back and shout. Come on now, shout. Don't forget to say you real. Don't forget to say yeah, 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 yeah.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will. Woo.
Say that you will.
Say you will.
Say that you love me.
Say
you make me wanna shout. Lift my head up and shout. Throw my hands back and shout. Come on now, shout. Come on now, shout. Come on now, shout. Come on now, shout. Take it easy, shout. Take it easy, shout. Take it easy, shout. Take it easy, shout. A little bit softer now, 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 shout. A little bit louder 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 now, shout.